Joining us at this time, we have Chris Schottschneider, who is the athletic training lead for Ripon Community Hospital. Chris recently completed an evidence-based practice fellowship project through SSM Health, focused on concussion education in high school athletes. Good morning.
Good morning.
That was just a summary. Now we've got to expand on it.
I suppose.
All right. So there's been a big discussion about concussions, especially when it comes to high school and college sports and, well, pro sports too. But why do concussions often go unreported?
I think there's several factors to that. I think we still have kind of an older school thought process of, oh, well, when I was in school, I got hit and I was fine. I think that's part of it. I think kids don't want to report it because they assume that that is going to keep them from playing, which it does in the short term. And so they try to hide their symptoms and power through. And then I think there's also a part where the kids just don't either A, understand the symptoms that they're feeling and that it is not normal, or the severity and what issues might arise from ignoring those symptoms.
So you're talking 40 to 50% of concussions go unreported?
Yeah, that's correct. I think partly, again, it's kids not necessarily recognizing that they have something. You know, I've been at games where all of a sudden a parent comes out of the crowd and there's ibuprofen and Tylenol getting thrown around, and then you never see anything after that. So, yeah, I think there's some definitely some stuff that goes on the sidelines and the games that either they don't recognize or they ignore.
Okay, so what are the dangers of not taking it seriously?
Well, just from the bare minimum, it's going to increase the amount of time it takes to return to a baseline. So, you have an injury in the head. There's chemical reactions that occur and synapses that don't quite connect right. And when that happens, you can get, dizzy. Your eyes kind of somewhat almost disconnect from your brain, so they don't necessarily, not physically, but they don't quite work the way that the brain is expecting them to. And all of those things just lead to those symptoms lasting longer. And so when that happens, it's harder for kids to take tests. They forget what the math problem was. They forget what classroom they're in, those types of things. Mm-hmm. And then on the worst case scenario, because there's a healing going on in the brain, a secondary hit, especially in this age group, anyone under the age of 25 where the brain is still developing, there is an incident of sudden impact, secondary impact syndrome, where it can lead to a coma or death. You know, we don't like to share, harp on that with kids because we don't want them to be, afraid to do anything. But it is something that, it's the main reason why all these concussion protocols have been created.
All right. Your project, you worked with two local high schools on educational intervention. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. What I wanted to do is, I know that kids don't like to report. And so what I was trying to find is any sort of evidence-based study that showed an intervention that might actually lead to them reporting it. So in the past, you go to school, you get a handout that said this is what a concussion is, and you sign the sheet and you walk away. Obviously, those aren't going to get read, and they don't really show any benefits as far as likelihood to report. And so there were a few that I found throughout the research, I tried to find one that was effective but also practical. One that was effective was to do a pre-game huddle with the team and talk about concussions, and that's not necessarily practical because that requires somebody to be at every game at every time. And so the one that I settled on was there was a study out of Georgia where they take an athlete basically through a scenario, and then there's a decision point. And so, like, this is the injury. Okay, now you have a decision to make. Do you tell somebody? Do you don't tell someone? And here's what happens if you don't do. Here's what happens if you don't. And so in showing, going through that presentation to 169 kids throughout two high schools, I showed a 22% like greater likelihood for kids to share their symptoms and concussion injury with either an athletic trainer, a parent, or a coach.
Can you name the two schools, or am I pushing it too much?
Oh, no. Nope. It was Ripon and Markazan.
Okay. So, local
schools.
Those
are the two schools that I primarily cover, but and so it was easy to get in front of those groups.
All right. So, the first thing that would come to mind is football, but you can get concussions in hockey, soccer, baseball, suppose, basketball.
I mean,
You know,
cross country. I've had them in every sport.
Right. So we're not just focusing on one sport here, but the entire spectrum.
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
So what were the key findings of your project? Because I understand you're actually going to do a presentation on this for a Johns Hopkins conference in November.
Yeah, that's got that PowerPoint up now, and I'm a little afraid of it, actually. The point of the presentation really is to just talk through the process, you know. And so you look at, you know, what did you want to pick? What's your statement? So your PICO statement, and then you look at, you know, what are you trying to accomplish? How did you find the research, and what did you come up with for an intervention, and how did it turn out? And so, you know, we took those students and we took them through that course, and we showed an improvement in likelihood to report. You know, and since then, I guess what I've learned from that project is that, you know, getting in front of parents and athletes is the ideal scenario, but that's not really always applicable. And so I tried to make it into a virtual course. And did not have the same sort of results. So now I've taken a different approach and shortened it up. And you know, so it was a 17-minute presentation. Now it's down to a 5. And I have, you know, sending that out to coaches so that they are watching it with their team. But when I can get in front of those groups and when our other athletic trainers can get in front of their schools, we really try to do that.
Okay. So you talk with the athletes, you've done video presentation for coaches. What about the parents?
Parents are welcome to watch it as well. And when we did have our, when I did do this intervention at the two schools, most of the meetings did include the parents as well. And so they didn't have to answer the survey questions. They just watched along. But I think it's important. You know, in the concussion process is very complicated. It is not like an ankle sprain where, okay, they're limping, now they're not limping, okay, now we run, now we're good to go. There are so many different variables that can play into how a kid heals. Are they playing video games? Are they a headache kid to begin with? Are they getting good sleep at night? Or are they just laying in bed? I mean, there's so many aspects to it. And so right now we've got a few concussions that I'm dealing with, and I think I've given the same overview of how a concussion process works at least 6 times. And it's each parent has a very different question, and how do you know it's a concussion? And how come this is taking so long? And how come this other kid's on step 2 and my kid's on step 1, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just a lot to it.
So as with most health issues, early reporting and treatment are keys, right?
Absolutely. And that is one part that I found in the research. As an example, if an athlete is sustains an injury and they're removed from play immediately, they like their average return time to that activity is about 17 days. If they stay in for 15 minutes or less, it goes up to 30 days. And if they stay in for 15 minutes or more, it can go up to almost to 90 days to return. And so the sooner that the injury is recognized and they're removed, the better the outcome.
Well, Chris, thank you very much for sharing information about your project, and good luck on your presentation in November.
Thank you. Thank you. All I have to do is get through the concussion season, which is 9 months.
Right. And that's just starting, so all right.
Yes,
thanks
yes.
again, Chris.
All right, thanks, Bob.
This is Chris Schottschneider, who is the athletic training lead for Ripon Community Hospital.